I think that we all do this in some areas of our life. So there's like feelings or emotions that we don't want to lean into, we don't want to kind of get into. And the way we avoid it is kind of the classics, like something that comes up for me with my clients all the time is things like overeating, over drinking, over shopping or spending, overdoing it with screens, anything that kind of gives you that quick hit of dopamine, right, makes you feel good in the moment and takes away that sense of discomfort that's kind of creeping up. I'm always like, if we want to start living into our best version and living into the life that we really want and creating a future that we're excited about, we actually need to feel those feelings and feel those emotions and hold space for them.
Welcome to Functional Medicine Coaching Moms Podcast, where simplifying healthy lifestyle change for moms is the only goal. Today, we are super excited to have Gwen Johnson, a certified functional medicine and life coach who helps midlife moms shift from being hyper-focused on weight loss and making sure everyone else is okay to health, longevity, loving their body, and creating a future they're actually excited about.
This episode is for you if you've ever felt like you're living on a hamster wheel of life, tending to everyone and everything else, your job, your kids, your parents, your partner, it goes on. And it feels like sometimes like, what about me?
Gwen herself is a recovering people pleaser who created a path out of burnout and perpetually feeling inadequate and guilty as a mother. We met Gwen through Instagram. Yay, she was an Instagram friend that we were so excited to meet. And she supported us from the beginning of our podcast journey, which we really appreciate. And we could relate to so much of what Gwen was saying about mom life and putting everyone else first.
So Gwen, we are so happy to talk with you today. And thank you so much for coming on the show. So can you share with us burnout is and what the symptoms are?
Yeah, I feel like when we talk about burnout, there is so many nuances to it. And everybody that I have worked with or that I talk to has sort of their own version of what they're experiencing. For me, or what comes up a lot, was sensation of not being capable of doing anything else for anything really in general. Like some people will come and they can't get off the couch. You know, they're just completely drained. They aren't, and yet not sleeping. Some people are functioning, but just feel empty inside, like a shell of a human. That's what I say. I'm like, I just felt like a shell of a human. I was functioning lowly, like at a low level, you know, feeling really drained, feeling exhausted, experiencing a lot of health things too, like feeling inflamed, feeling tension in my joints, feeling overweight, feeling swollen. Like I would always be like, I just feel so swollen, which is a weird thing, but if you know, you know.
Yes. No, I know. I would use the word puffy. Yeah.
Yes, like puffy. Exactly. Exactly. I think a huge part is just a real lack of joy, feeling like you are connected to your life and your life experience. So there's that disconnection that's happening. Yeah. I don't know if you guys have anything to add to that, but that was my experience. That's what comes up a lot when I work with clients.
Kristen and I we've had conversations about this, about times in our lives where we felt as though we were living like this persona and what we're supposed to be. And that left like zero room for the potential of who we could be, right? Because and it's like a little prison and you're going through the motions and, you know, you're go to the PTA meeting and you do this and you do that and you're got dinner ready and you're doing this. And it's like no. And also one of the things that we talked about is that sometimes you even use that though, so that you don't have to deal with yourself. That was another thing.
It's a double-edged sword for sure. Yes. We find ourselves, we're either living to the persona and, you know, and that feels a bit resentful. Like you start to resent, oh my gosh, I have to do all this stuff. But then on the flip side, you're using it as an excuse for like digging into what do you really want? Like, what do you really want to be doing? And what do you want your life to look like?
And I just want to jump in that because that whole thing of what you just said, what do we really want to be doing? And for moms, it's like, I feel like No, I do want to take care of my kids. I do want to make healthy meals. Those are things that I do find. But what was happening was, I think the resentment comes in when you're not doing the other things that are self-fulfilling, that have to do just for you. And I think that's where that friction comes in, where we feel like we have to pick one or the other.
Yeah, I talk about it like this balance. And I love how you talk about this, because I think a lot of times we have this idea of all the things that are going to fulfill us, that are going to make us feel whole and happy and, you know, abundant and all the things. And then we're checking those off, and we're doing all the things, and we're like, but still, I don't feel whole, or I don't feel like I thought I would. Then we do a lot of things to kind of fill that void. And those things don't generally, or sometimes don't serve us in, right, you know, feeling great and having energy and giving us the opportunity to actually create the life that we want. And so there is that like sticky spot of numbing ourselves or avoiding ourselves, while we're kind of stuck in this cog of like, I thought I was doing all the things that were supposed to make me feel great, and I don't feel great. So what's up with that?
Right. Right.
Yeah, you're kind of stuck. I get that.
Yeah.
What are the things we're doing like to avoid, like, 'cause maybe we don't even realize we're avoiding it. You know what I mean? Like we're kind of stuck.
I think that we all do this in some areas of our life. So there's like feelings or emotions that we don't want to lean into, we don't want to kind of get into. And the way we avoid it is kind of the classics, like something that comes up for me with my clients all the time is things like overeating, over drinking, over shopping or spending, overdoing it with screens, anything that kind of gives you that quick hit of dopamine, right, makes you right, feel good in the moment and takes away that sense of discomfort that's kind of creeping up. I'm always like, if we want to start living into our best version and living into the life that we really want and creating a future that we're excited about, we actually need to feel those feelings and feel those emotions and hold space for them if we want to be able to move past that, right? Instead of continuing to layer on the pizza and the burgers and the ice cream and the
yeah, doing the TikTok, right? Doing the surface stuff that gives you instant gratification. And I have this thing where I always remind myself, because we forget. It's interesting. Like, we could know something and then 2 seconds later, we're like doing the exact same thing. But it's about respecting the process, like respect the process. Yeah. You know, you're going to be going through shit. It may be hard, but who you are on the other side of that, that's the whole thing. You have to respect the process and the work ethic. You know, if it's easy, everybody would be doing it.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
It's definitely not easy.
No. And I think that that's where we get it. Like, and certainly I do this in places in my own life. Everybody right, has their different place that they do this, where we think, okay, like we come up with the idea of like what we're going to do to maybe feel better. Maybe it's health related, maybe it's work related, maybe it's, you know, personal growth or whatever it is. And then we think in our head, like, this is going to feel good. This is going to be amazing. Like, I'm going to crush this. And then it gets hard and we're like, clearly this wasn't meant for me. Like if it was meant for me, it would be easy. And that kind of makes our brain think like, we shouldn't be doing this. And we're like, yes, okay, you're right. We should not be doing this. So understanding though, that when we are making change of any kind, whether it's changing how you're eating or changing how you're moving your body, whatever it is, deciding to journal or meditate, it's going to be hard. And that's not a bad thing, right? Right. Hard doesn't mean bad. That to me was like, what? Yeah.
That's where you also understand the power. Yeah, just the power of the comfort zone that it has.
Yes, yes, yes. And
like, oh, I think I'm going to go back over here.
You know, to like loop it all the way back to burnout, living, like what got us to that place of burnout is living inside of a comfort zone, right? It's just like being reactionary and just staying like following the kind of check marks and not being like, whoa, you know, there's going to have been red flags along the way that we could have listened to, but we didn't. Certainly for myself, I was like, nope, it's fine. I'm just going to keep doing it. Nope, it's fine. I'm just going to keep doing it. I'm just going to push down my feelings and I'm just going to keep soldiering on. And, you know, yeah, that was really comfortable for me. It felt easy. And then it ends up in a puddle of exhaustion and inability to be my best self.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. And also, I was curious, like, what you think about when we talked a little bit about the persona, like, you know, sometimes you think that is like, this is it for me, right? Like, I'm this age and this is me. Like, I have this job and I have this, you know, life or whatever. And maybe you had dreams that you just kind of let go of. Like, how can people tap into that? Because, you know, it's never too late. Like, look at us. Like, we just started a podcast and we're, you know, 46 and 56. Like, you know, there is hope for people, but I feel like people just get stuck kind of living that hamster wheel or whatever, like we talked about earlier.
Yeah, I love that. And I also love that you ladies are doing this. It's so good. I think when we get stuck in a hamster wheel and we just, our world just gets so small. One of my favorite ways to kind of bust out of that is to be like, you know what? We just need to make a decision. We need to be able to just make a decision in any area of our life and stick to it and follow that energy. Because when you make any kind of decision, whether it's to, like, it doesn't even matter if it's to drink more water or to start a journaling practice or to go to for a 5-minute walk, right? That starts to create a shift in your energy and it allows you to move out of that kind of stuckness. And I think that we really live in a world that just overcomplicates everything.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I feel like, Kristen, you said something at the beginning that I was like, oh, I want to address that, but I've lost it, but whatever.
No, this is really helpful because it's true. Like, we always think too, it has to be like a big change, right? Mm-hmm. Like, even the tiniest change can just get that momentum going for you and get your creativity. Like, that's another thing I had a question for you about. Like, I feel like we lose our creativity as we get older and we're just not tapping in. Like, we're constantly encouraging our kids to do new things and grow. And you know, as adults, we kind of just start to sit back.
Yeah. And I feel like as women, especially, you know, we're kind of sold this idea that we will become moms and we will be whole and everything's going to be great. You know, like we were talking about before this started, like, it doesn't always really work out like that. And also your kids grow up and they move out and then what the hell? And so inside of that mix, I'm finding things to tap into that are creative is something that I love to work with my clients on, because it is essentially one of the first things to go. And I know a lot of people are like, I'm not creative at all. And I'm like, everybody's creative. We just have a mixed up version of what creativity is. When I think about creativity, there's like a definition that I love, which is just, creativity is just making something that didn't exist before that has some kind of value in the world. The value can be, it makes you feel good.
Right.
That's it, right? And so I have clients who, you know, will organize their sock drawer. I'm like, girl, come to my house, please. Like, what's happening? But it fills her with so much joy. She's like, I just get into the zone and I just organize it and it's so beautiful. And then I have another client who sets a tablescape, like a vignette on her dining room table every night, different, just random things. Like, and it's actually a conversation piece with her and her husband, which I'm like, that is so fun. But understanding that if we want to age with grace and with a sense of that youthful kind of zesty energy, doing things like that, doing things like creativity, gratitude practices, or whatever, connects us to that energy. I always say creativity is like adult play. And so working that into our life in even the tiniest way, I love how you guys always talk about this too, understanding that it doesn't have to be anything giant, but working it into our life is what creates that balance that we were talking about, you know, that balance between, yeah, these are all the roles that I play in my life, the work, the parenting, the wife, the whatever. And this is what I do for myself. And this is what I do to keep my own energy up and vibrating at a level that is good and allows me to show up good. Did I answer your question, Kristen? I don't even know.
No, yeah. Like, I think, and at the end of the day, like, if we can do those little things for ourselves, we're going to be so much better at being the parent and being the daughter or the spouse. You know, we're just going to be so much better. And that's something that took me a while to get. Like, I thought I just had to keep giving out and, you know, being better for everybody else. But it was like, no, you have to like fill your cup and then you can be better for every, you know, the people around you.
Yeah, that
and,
is.
And it's such a hard lesson to learn as a mom, I feel like.
And it's so hard to explain. Like, if you don't know, if you're at the place where you're like, haven't started this yet, when somebody says that, it sounds like, sure, sure, ladies.
Right.
Blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. I think that it really is such a missing piece in our motherhood role for so many reasons, because not only when we are doing things for ourselves, when we're filling our own bucket first, we then have that overflow of energy that we can bring into our world. And that makes us a better parent, makes us more patient, it makes us more present, it makes us more creative, it makes us more fun, all of the things, right? But the other thing is it makes us a better leader to our children. This is what it looks like to take care of yourself. This is what it looks like to prioritize yourself. I have a daughter. I'm like, I want to lead her into a life where she knows what it looks like to prioritize herself no matter what is going on for her. Doesn't, you know, no matter what she's doing, I want her to know this is how you do it. And I think that it's such a powerful shift in the relationship of parenting to understand that we don't have to bleed ourselves dry to raise kids that are going to be happy and whole. We have to show them what it looks like to create that balance. And we have to be able to, we have to have the energy to be available to them, right? Like, when I was in the pit of my burnout, I was useless. Like, grumpy and resentful and angry and snarky and not my best self.
That is so true. I remember, like, I knew that I entered a new level for myself when I no longer felt guilty for wanting to have alone time. If I wanted to go to the beach by myself with my journal and my chair and my umbrella and just be in front of the ocean, because I used to do that. And I would be like, oh my gosh, I should have the kids here with me. Oh my gosh, I should. But, you know, I should. I'd be shitting all over myself.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And I'm like, okay, but what's, you know, so it's like, I'm here. I created this space, but I'm not there because now I'm worrying about this. And once I was able to settle in that place, and then I started just seeing how much of a better mom I was, a better friend, a better daughter, like all these other areas of my life flourished as a result of it. But it took time, you know, and I want to just send that message out to any mom listening about it takes time. Like, you're not going to do this and instantaneously feel like all the things that we're talking about. It's a process. You have to respect the process and just know I'm in the process. This is part of it. This is part of the journey. This is part of it.
Especially, like, people will talk about it and they'll be like, well, I did it and I felt really uncomfortable. And I'm like, yes, good. Keep doing it. That means you're doing it right. So, like, when we do start, you know, if there is a mom that's listening to this, that's like, I want to start doing this, I don't understand how to do it. It's like, you make these tiny little windows in time for yourself, whether it's 5 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever, after the kids go to bed, before the kids go to bed or wake up, or just whenever. And then you do it and you feel uncomfortable. You feel the guilt. You feel the discomfort of, like, I'm going to sit on the beach by myself and I'm not going to bring my kids. And that feels really uncomfortable. And I'm just going to let that exist. I'm not going to let that mean anything other than those are the feelings that are coming up right now. But I'm still going to do it. I'm still going to do the things.
Exactly. Well, I'm going to be mindful of our time today, Gwen. And this is so perfect that you just said that, because I want to ask you, what are two simple, we always ask all our guests this, what are two, maybe three, but at least two simple things that a mom can do to start feeling better or living this part of their lives or living their dreams or getting, you know, taking steps toward that? What are, and I dare say, like they're listening to us, they're going to finish this podcast is going to end. And I would love for them to be like, they got two things that they can start right today.
Yeah. Like a step. Okay. I love that. Okay. So the first thing I always like to do, and this is something I like to do with all my clients, and I just think everyone should do it. It's coming up with a very clear list of what self-care actually means. A lot of times when we think about self-care, we've really overcomplicated it. We've come up with very expensive things, things that take a ton of time, things that are really not attainable to us, which generates feelings of resentment and anger and whatever, frustration, which then we often will try and eat that away from and do those things, right? Or have that glass of wine to be like, crush that feeling. So I'm like, okay, you know what is so powerful is to come up with a very clear list, and I want it to be long. I'm like 40 things that are genuine acts of self-love and self-care. Anything from having a glass of water to putting on moisturizer. You know, every day I have a shower, I put on moisturizer, and I'm like, this right here, this is self-care, baby.
like that.
It can be anything. The caveat is that genuine acts of self-love and self-care generally won't have a negative health impact, right? So it can't be like, I would discourage things like having a bottle of Chardonnay on a Friday night. More things like things that actually generate energy and vibrancy in your body. Go into detail on that. Make that huge list. I always encourage people to write it out, pen on paper.
Yes.
Post it somewhere. And then the goal is to make a mental check mark on all the things that you can do in a day. And so that's why it's like the understanding that those simplest things can be a beautiful act of self-care, whether it is the moisturizer or the glass of water or the walk or the 5 minutes of meditation or nourishing your body with food that makes you feel good, right? Then you can just look at the end of the day like, oh, look, I did 27 things on my list today for self-care. That changes our relationship with ourselves immediately. But the other thing that comes from that is that we then have an understanding of what we think is self-care. So a lot of times we will, like I say, you know, overcomplicate it and make it something that we need like a whole weekend trip away or whatever. But
completely. Yeah. And then we think we need a lot of money or, you know, time and money.
Then we don't do it. Or I've had clients who are like, think that self-care is having that bottle of wine at the end of the day or eating the pizza, even though it doesn't really make them feel good, but that's just, if you know, it feels good in the moment, but then they feel sick after. So understanding that difference and then having that clarity, right? So then that in itself is just an incredible practice, knowing what genuine acts of self-care are for you and then observing in your day how many you can kind of work in. Trying to bring it into every day of your life, being like, I did 10 things, I did 5 things, I did 20 things, whatever. And then the second thing, sorry, I'm just like on it. I'm like, let's go. The second thing is, I think a lot of times when we want to make change in our life, and I know that you guys have talked about this and I love it, we try and do things perfectly. We think that we need to do all of it. We need to do everything. We need to be eating good and exercising and having the gratitude and doing the meditation and all the stuff. And
it also leads to burnout.
Exactly. 100%. And when we don't do that, when we fail inevitably at some point, right? We don't eat perfectly or whatever happens. We let that mean something about ourselves. We let it mean something about who we are. And that triggers shame and that triggers guilt and that triggers the desire to give up. Exactly. And so then we just throw up our hands and we're like, well, this is not, it's just not working. Instead, it's like, I want to eat better. And so I'm going to try and add, I don't know, mixed greens to every meal. And that's just what I'm going to try and do. But if I don't do it perfectly, that doesn't mean anything about me. It just means that that one meal, I didn't do it perfectly. That's fine. Perfection is a garbage myth, right? Mm-hmm. So when we have that shift with ourselves in our thoughts about whatever we're working towards, it allows it to be so much more of an expansive thing. And then we're not riding that sort of subconscious roller coaster of feeling bad, because when we feel bad, what do? We do things that make us immediately feel better, which are generally things that don't make us feel good, which we then feel guilty about. So then we need to overload that guilt with something else. So it like piles up. And instead just being like, change takes time. It's meant to be hard. That is okay. And I cannot do this perfectly. It's okay if I, whatever, slip up. It's okay if I miss the walk. It's okay if I forget to pay attention to my list of authentic self-cares. It's okay. Just start again, start now, and keep going. Those are my, I wish every mom would know that and do that. And then the last thing, of course, is just focus on your gut health. That's it.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Gwen. I just want to let our listeners know that Gwen has a bonus offer for our listeners today. Her simple summertime gut health reboot is on sale for, wait for it, $29. That's incredible.
So crazy.
That's a great deal.
Yeah. It includes everything a busy mom needs to successfully start eating for health and longevity, as well as bonus modules on stress management, sleep optimization, movement for all bodies in all seasons, a full module on creativity and increasing joy, and more. It is packed, but simple in delivery and doability. And that means the world to Kristen and I in, you know, when we talk about bringing healthy lifestyle change, simplifying that. If you're interested in this, DM the code FMCA, that stands for Functional Medicine Coaching Moms, FMCA, to her Instagram.
FMCM. Handle. Sorry. I was going to say FMCM.
Sorry, my bad. To her Instagram handle, which is at Gwen Johnson Official.
Gwen also has a free epic list of life-changing habits that take under 10 minutes. These are genuine acts of self-love that will generate feeling healthier and having more joy and energy. And you can connect with Gwen on Instagram, like Raquel just said, at Gwen Johnson Official. And her website is www.gwenjohnson.ca. And also you can listen to her fabulous podcast called The Missing Ingredient with Gwen. And I have to say, I've listened to it, and they are short episodes that are full of great ideas for up-leveling your life and questioning those shitty limiting beliefs that hold you back. Because every time I listen to an episode, I'm like, oh my gosh, like I have so many aha moments. So I highly recommend her podcast, The Missing Ingredient with Gwen.
It's been so fun.
Yes. We're so glad you came on. We're so glad to connect
with you. Thank you so much, Gwen.
We'll do it again. I feel like we'll do it again. You ladies are doing good work out here.
Thank you. Thank you for your support. See you next time.
The information provided in this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended for the purpose of diagnosing, curing, treating, or preventing any disease. We are functional medicine certified health coaches and not licensed medical professionals. The opinions and advice of guests are their own and also not considered to be medical advice. Always consult with a healthcare professional when making any healthy lifestyle changes.
We would love to hear from our mom community. Any wellness topics that are high on your list, please DM us at Functional Medicine Coaching Moms. We can also be reached via email at info@functionalmedicinecoachingmoms.com. You can find Functional Medicine Coaching Moms podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. If you enjoyed this episode, please hit the subscribe button.